This is Amy Poehler. My new movie, Disney and Pixar's Inside Out 2, is coming to theaters June 14th, and it's making me feel joy and sadness and anger, definitely some disgust,
Rose,
and I think a little fear.
Really?
But I'm also feeling these new emotions like anxiety, embarrassment, envy, and ennui.
It's what you call the boredom.
Okay, that one was weird. It's going to be the feel-everything movie of the summer. Disney and Pixar's Inside Out 2, only in theaters June 14th. Get tickets now.
Two, the Kinda Funny Games cast for Tuesday, April 30th, 2024. Of course, I am Tim Geddes with the star-studded cast. We have the new face of video games, Blessing Adeoye Jr.
War never changes.
We have Lucy James herself, Lucy James.
Okie dokie.
We have the big daddy, Greg Miller.
Yeet!
And the master of hype, Snowbike Mike.
No yeet.
No, no, come on!
No
always yeet.
Yeet,
Mike.
Throwing the one up, he's throwing the ones up.
Throwing the ones, come on. How you doing, Bless?
Doing pretty good.
Yeah.
Very excited for this conversation. It's been many weeks coming.
Mm-hmm. Fallout, spoiler cast. The entire show will be covered, obviously, in full spoiler form. Real quick, though, Bless.
Mm-hmm.
What is your history with Fallout?
My first Fallout game was Fallout 3. I quickly fell in love with it. That was like maybe right as I left the vault in that game, it was a thing of, oh, man, this is actually magic. Like, this is a bigger game than I thought it was. It was funny. Like, my story of buying that game at the store was seeing it at GameStop over and over again and not really knowing much of what Fallout was and looking up reviews. And it was in that like $10 bin at GameStop. It was
what a steal.
Yeah. It was like 2011 or some shit, like 2012. But it was like between buying that and buying Fallout New Vegas. And I think reviews convinced me to buy Fallout 3 because I think New Vegas was just buggy at launch, and so it didn't get as good reviews. And so I pick it up.
Fallout 3 ran flawlessly.
Exactly. On PlayStation especially. So I pick it up. Thinking that it was just going to be just a first-person shooter. And I start playing it, I'm like, oh, this is way more than a first-person shooter. And I just fell in love with it. And then, yeah, since then, you know, I've been slowly playing through New Vegas, I feel like, for the last decade, where I'll pick it up and just not get that far with it. I've been playing it again recently, coming off of the Fallout show. But yeah, I really dig Fallout. It's probably one of my favorite gaming franchises at this point.
Lucy, what about you?
Oh, no. So I'm not really a big Fallout person. I think because I played Skyrim first, and then I thought, oh, okay, well, I'll go back, I'll try Fallout. Went to Fallout 3, didn't really vibe with it. Mm. New Vegas, didn't really vibe with it. I also blame that on the fact that I just have no attention span anymore, and I think I had just less of a tolerance. I didn't play them when they came out, so I don't have that love, really, surrounding it. So I am very familiar with Fallout as a franchise because you can't work in gaming and not be. Played Fallout 4 a bunch when that came out. To different, you know, the Fallout 4 at launch was interesting. Never played 76, but I did play a bunch of 76 last week, and I do really, really want to play New Vegas now. And I've seen H Bomber Guy's video on Fallout 3 and New Vegas, so I'm the person who's not the Fallout fan,
yeah,
but who loves the show.
Oh, so then the big question is this, Lucy: are you going to? And we've been friends a long time. We're family. Mm. You're the godmother of my son. Are you not going to fumble the bag this year? Because I told you last year, maybe the year before that, you got to be Captain Carter for Halloween. It's the perfect Halloween costume for you.
Oh.
Now being Lucy from Vault 33 is the perfect costume for you.
I already don't worry. No. As soon as I started to watch that show, and I was like, oh, this is...
How many of us are going to show up to Halloween wearing the Vault Dweller suit? Because I plan to.
Kind of funny, Vault Party would actually be really like, I mean, my hair's a bit longer now. I can just do the thing with a curler at the bottom.
Yeah.
I can, yeah. Oh, no, I'll do it.
Okay,
I'll
great. Cool. All right, thank you. I appreciate that. Thank you very much.
I love that. Greg, what about you?
You know, I'm old, as you know, so I remember Fallout 3 being my introduction to the series and what it was. And I mean, I remember the first E3 demo where it was that everybody from IGN wanted to go to it. And then when the first wave did and they were like, this thing is incredible, everybody's got to go play it. We all went over there and I remember getting to go over there. If you remember Fallout 3 well, you'll remember the character, Colin Moriarty. And I remember getting to go over there with Colin in this group and everybody like they thought Bethesda, I think Todd was there and thought IGN was pulling a prank on them because like that's how old we all were and how young we all were, I guess, at the time, right? But played it there, was amazed, played it at launch. I remember Charles Onyet, of course, you know, the PC gaming god, talking about how amazing it was and all these different things. And he reviewed it, I do believe. And yeah, diving into it and getting lost. And that was a game that was like the everlasting gobstopper for so long, where it was like long after my journey to find Liam Neeson had been completed, it was still going out there and finding new things. And, you know, it's such an interesting look back to go that far back into history where wikis weren't the thing, right? And IGN wasn't doing a lot. They had guide content, but it wasn't like, we're putting this on the front page. We're talking about the top 10 Easter eggs. We're doing these different things. And so to be able to be months into Fallout 3 being out and play it and find new things and find new characters and still have that, I'm just going to walk that way. What happens if I walk that way? What will I find and have those rewarding experiences? It made me a Bethesda fan from there on out of what they do and how they do it.
Mike. Oh. Yeah, just like everybody else, I'm a Fallout boy. I've been playing Fallout for a long, long time. I will never forget freshman year of college, all of us jamming in to Matt's dorm room and watching him play Fallout 3.
Hell yeah,
getting
Matt.
Stony baloney and just having so much fun. We would go Fallout 3 into Skate 2 sessions We would just battle and skate. And it was the best combo ever. And then I played Fallout New Vegas. I played Fallout 4. I am a big advocate for Fallout 76. Me and my best friend Kevin Asex have played a ton of it. I am happy to say that I am a Nuclear Winter number one winner. That's a Battle Royale win up for me. Not many people can say that. I won that. And so, yeah, I love Fallout. I'm a big fan of all things Bethesda. And to see the show come to life and how they nailed it, I'm very happy and excited.
I've been chasing the high, obviously, since Fallout. You know, just like Lucy, I downloaded New Vegas on Steam Deck for $5, Game of the Year edition. I've started New Vegas a lot, but I've never, ever fallen in love with it. So I'm hopefully I'll get there eventually. But then, of course, next-gen patch, jumped in there with my Taylor Swift 96-hour save. I opened it up, I'm like, I have no fucking idea. I was like, went back, restarted a character, did the whole thing, got out of the vault, had fun with it for a night. And then last night, after talking to Todd, I was like, I gotta see. Yeah. Do my first, my third jump back into Fallout 76. And I started Fallout 76, went to the character me and Bless had played with in 2021, opened that save, level 15. And I did two missions, and I was like, God damn, this feels pretty good. Like, I'm gonna come back to 76. Yeah. It's, you know, it's
homie.
It, whereas Fallout 4, I was so far into the world and so far and so post the story of what it was. I remember 76 and Reclamation Day and just being like, tame the wild. And I remember playing that at launch and being like, oh, it's buggy, but it's enjoyable to it, but it's not this. And then when Bless and I came back, when they added NPCs, I was like, all right, it feels a little bit more, but it's still, the seams are showing. Last night, jump in. I was shocked on PlayStation 5 how well it ran, how good it looked, like the lighting effects. I was like, oh, God damn, all right, cool. And then, yeah, I just like did the thing of like, all right, there's a mission over there. Ran into the park, talked to this robot that was a nanny. She's like, I just want to know what happened to the kid I was taking care of. I'm like, I'm on this. And it was like 45 minutes of an hour of doing the piece to piece, read the notes, see what happened, kill the super mutants. I was like, this feels good. And it was the way to drop back in the way Fallout 4 wasn't for me. Whereas I think tonight when I go back and drop back in, I'm excited for it.
Come play with me. I'll play with you.
Well, are you playing on PlayStation?
I was going to say, you got to come on. Fallout 76 has a beautiful setting as opposed to New Vegas and Fallout 3, which are very barren wastelands. Being in the West Virginia forest is beautiful, right? Yeah. I love going through the hills. It's got that fall vibe to it. It feels so much different than the other games. I think that's what always draws me to that. It's just more of the color palette that they have going on.
And again,
on.
Coming from the show to Fallout 4 to 76 and talking to Todd yesterday, it's the little things I wasn't even noticing, right? Of like, the, you know, of course, Fallout 76, you have like a tan motif to your Pip-Boy. It looks different than the Pip-Boy in 4. So to go from 4 to this, every Pip-Boy kind of feels and looks the same, right? But then to be in there, like not, one night do one and do the next, like, oh, right, there is a different vibe to all of this.
Yeah, it's interesting because Lucy, I have even less experience than you when it comes to Fallout. Hey. I have never played a Fallout game, period. So watching the show, I finished it last night. It was really my first introduction to the franchise. Like you said, being in the games industry, I know a lot about it. I am familiar with the iconography and the colors and the concepts of a lot of things. But there's a lot that I don't understand, and I've just kind of like seen at a Hot Topic. You know what I mean? I don't understand how it all connects. If I remember correctly, I think that me and Colin did a Let's Play of the opening of one of the Fallout games, like in like 2015 of early days of Kind of Funny. That was my only experience playing the game ever. So very excited to talk about the show. But we're not going to do that quite yet because I want to let you know that this is the Kind of Funny Games cast. Each and every weekday, we get together to talk about the biggest reviews, previews, and topics in video games live on YouTube, Twitch, and podcast services around the globe. If you love what we do, please support us with the Kind of Funny membership on Patreon or YouTube to get all of our shows ad-free. You can watch us record them live, and you get a daily exclusive show. For a chance to be part of the show, you can submit your thoughts and opinions as YouTube Super Chats as we go. So if you have any questions or comments or anything about the Fallout show, please Super Chat them, and we will get to them through the show. A little housekeeping for you. Kind of Funny Games is an 11-person small business that's all about live talk shows. You've already gotten Xbox Showcase news on Kind of Funny Games Daily a little bit earlier, and it's now on YouTube, Twitch, and podcast services if you want to watch later. Up next is Nick's Nuzlocke Pokemon Run continuing on YouTube and Twitch. And if you're a Kind of Funny member, today's Gregway is going to be Blessing and Roger reacting to Kendrick's new diss track towards Drake. Excited to check that out. And then the Kind of Funny podcast will be recording live for Kind of Funny members. It's going to be Greg and Kevin Coelho talking about being daddies.
Kevin's very excited.
Yeah.
Going to be a special podcast to sit down and talk to Kevin. Give him all of my learnings in 2.5 years. Because it's too late.
Learn too.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
He's got to do it now.
Yeah. Yeah, no going back. Okay. Thanks for making our dreams a reality, Patreon producers Carl Jacobs, Kieran Hovasapi, and Delaney Twining. You are the absolute best. Today we're brought to you by Aura Frames, but we'll tell you about that later. For now, let's start with the topic of the show. It's our Fallout spoiler cast, everybody. Remember, you can super chat to be part of the show. If you agree or disagree with us, let us know via YouTube super chats. I want to start with Lucy.
Yeah.
What did you think of the Fallout show?
I really liked it. I think, right. So I don't know if you know this, but I used to cover Westworld very, very extensively over at GameSpot on an entertainment brand. And so when I saw that Jonathan Nolan and Lisa Joy were attached to this, I was like, okay, you've got my attention. I'm not necessarily interested in Fallout, but they have a track record, at least doing 2 good seasons of a TV show. We don't talk about Westworld season 3. But I was like, I'm really into how they, you know, I think they carry a lot of weight in the fact that they were kind of fans of the game. So I was like, okay, this is going to come from a really good place, I hope. And then I was watching the show and I was just like, the characters feel really good, like in terms of how they are, how they're motivated. It has that quirky humor. I think in terms of the actual set design, it's not, there is obviously a lot of CG in it, but it's not over the top to a way where it looks...
A lot of it's practical, right?
A lot
they
of it is
add
practical.
The CG on.
And it's, I love that. I miss that. And it makes it look, gives it a sense of place, makes it look and feel really authentic. And I really enjoy it. Some people I was talking to didn't enjoy how many music drops there were.
Really?
But I was like, oh, I think that's
Fallout.
Kinda, that's Fallout,
yeah.
Though. So overall, I was just like, in terms of the whole package, I was really into it. I liked that there was that compelling mystery, like what is in Vault 31? Because that's such a big deal in Fallout. And like every vault is pretty much an experiment. And there's always something really creepy and messed up. And I want to know what it is. And I think they really towed the line with that mystery really well. And then when they started incorporating flashback stuff and fitting it in really great ways, and like how Walton Goggins' character, how you see him change.
Yeah.
In particular, like he's not just this one dimensional. He reminded me a lot of the Man in Black from Westworld.
Sure. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
In terms of like that Ed Harris's character in the same way. And I was just like, I really like the way that it's, you know, the three different, I did see a comparison to this on Twitter. This is a long rambling one, I'm sorry.
Welcome to Kind of Funny.
But it was like, I really like the fact that it was like, Lucy's character is the do-gooding player. Maximus is kind of like the morally gray in between. And then the ghoul is just like, I'm just going to shoot up everything and mess everything around. And I really liked it because, you know, I play like Lucy all the time. I'm a little do-gooder. And then eventually maybe I'll do like a renegade run. But I liked it. They had 3 different viewpoints. I love the way they intersected. But my main thing is that I love that they used my favorite little freak guy, Ben Linus from Lost, Michael Emerson, as the doctor. When I saw him, I was so happy.
That was a great drop, yeah.
What a great character pick. So overall, I loved it. I don't think there was actually anything that I really disliked about it. And I'm having a really difficult time with TV in general at the moment, just like actually committing to watching something. And Fallout being 8 episodes, all killer, no filler for me, I blasted through it in like 3 days. I loved it.
Mike, I want to go to you. What did you think of the Fallout show?
You know, we did the review just a couple weeks ago, and I gave it a 5 out of 5. I loved this adaptation. I thought it was an absolute blast. I really stick with Lucy on what they talked about. I think the casting was great. Every single character that you saw throughout that fit the role so well, and I got to give a shout-out to the brother. I mean, Norm, that guy, you look at him, you're like, you are Norm, and you're so perfect as Norm. And so the casting really carried a lot of it for me, but the sets all looked beautiful. That iconic blue and yellow vault suit will always pop on screen for me. And how they told a story in the Fallout sandbox that isn't a retelling of a story we already have, they did a fantastic job with that. And now that it's the spoiler cast, we can finally talk about it. It's like, I love that, of course, it's just like every other Fallout of how do we get out of the vault? Oh my God, my dad is taken. I gotta leave the vault. Like, now we can finally talk about that. We couldn't talk about it last time, but that did make me smile of when we first like started talking about, oh, the Fallout TV show. I was wondering, well, what is it going to be? Is it going to be, hey, somebody stole my baby. Oh my God, I got to go find my dad in the wasteland. And sure enough, there it was. But I think they did such a good job at tying everybody in, giving us great callbacks to iconic characters, really cool locations, all of the different weapons, the foods, the items that you see throughout the game. They nailed everything. So for me, I had a big smile on my face throughout all of it. I thought they did a fantastic job right up there with The Last of Us. Way better than Halo as a big Xbox fan. I am happy to see a positive here in the video game world that's coming to the TV screen. And I have so many theories, ideas of what we'll see in the future that I have papers here I can't wait to talk about. But like, they nailed it, Tim. That was a lot of fun to watch. It was great. Bless.
Yeah, I mean, are we going full spoilers? Can I talk
spoilers? Oh, yeah, dude, for sure.
I think for me, the first three episodes started a bit slow. The first episode I thought was awesome, though. I think starting off in Vault 33 and setting up the turn of, oh, this is connected to another vault, and having, like, the reveal of, oh, snap, okay, there are raiders, and this is fucking everything up. Oh, man, that's a crazy way to start off, like, a Fallout vault. I like how classically Fallout this is. And getting the reveal of the mystery, getting, like, the, oh, there's a third vault. Oh, all the overseers for Vault 33 are coming from Vault 31. I absolutely love that mystery. And for me, it brought me back to something like Severance, right? Of, all right, we're in this very designed, organized place, and there is a conspiracy going on. And I think how they pace that conspiracy out and have those beat-by-beat reveals in the end of the penultimate episode where Norm steps into Vault 31 and the episode ends. I'm like, dude, that was the moment where I was like, I wish this was weekly, because if I had to sit with that for a week, oh man, I would have been obsessed with the conversations that the internet would have had about it, or that we would have had at work, or like the theories that people would have been creating. I think there's so much potential in the show as far as the how they do such a good job of balancing mystery and building up to, oh, I have no idea what's about to happen or where they're about to go. I think that stuff is done very well. Episodes 2 and 3 for me like had their moments, but I think Maximus as a character took a while to grow on me. And in the second half of the season, as they, you know, took him towards a more comedic place and made him like, oh, he's dumb but he's funny, I think they found a place for him. But that was a struggle for me in the first half. But the big turn for me, funny enough, talking about Lucy McClain, at first I was a bit iffy on that character, because it was, oh, you're very plucky, you're very positive, you're very cleansed, and that's how you're supposed to be because you're coming out of the vault. But I'm used to Fallout being so gruesome and gory and disgusting, and I was looking for that rawness of Fallout. And in episode 4, where the ghoul cuts off her finger, I was like, this is it. This is exactly what I'm looking for out of this show. Like, you took this very, again, plucky, positive, like cheery character, and you are fucking her up in episode 4. That was such a strong, oh shit. And then from there, it was, oh, okay, we're really treating this well. Like, you are, you know, giving me the rawness of the ghoul. You're giving me these really cool beats of, oh, he's doing this to, like, you know, letting her get her organs harvested so we can get the serum so we can stay alive. Oh, that's very fascinating. And so much of how they treat the characters' motivations are so strong and so interesting. I still have things here where with Maximus that I'm not completely sold on, but I think with him, they came around with him for the most part for me as a character, where I'm on the side of liking him more than I dislike him. But yeah, overall, really enjoyed the show. On the review, I gave it a 4 out of 5. I think there are so many fantastic things about it. There are some things I'd like to see them do better for season 2. Some of that stuff is like CG and stuff, but even with that, a lot of how the armor looks for the Brotherhood of Steel, I think looks great. Like, a lot of the creatures, the big, I think it's called like the Glorper or like the axolotl monster, I thought that stuff looked cool.
Gulper.
Oh, yeah. I thought it was a fun set piece, even though I didn't love it all the way in terms of just the visual of it. But yeah, I really, really enjoyed the season.
Greggy.
Yeah. I think, you know, removed from it, because, yeah, we did the review. I was with Mike, 5 out of 5. I loved it. And we talked about it on PS I Love You a few times, and we've talked about it on Games Daily, this, that, the other. I think, like, without hyperbole, I think it is the best video game adaptation. Ooh. And I don't say it lightly, and I don't mean to cast shade at The Last of Us, but I think The Last of Us as a game was so much more than a game, right? It felt like that was adapting, even though it didn't, a movie or a TV, like the way the themes and the acting and the mocap and the way it all coalesces into this experience that I think is so great. I think you watch Fallout, and I know I've said it a few times on a few different shows now, but like when Lucy gets stabbed in episode one and uses a stim pack and then it's fine, I was like, oh, all right, here we go, right? Because I had paid a little bit of attention. I knew it was supposed to be in the same world, but I wasn't, like, ready for them to be like, no, we are one-for-one-ing what you do in the game. We are taking the same sound effects. The hacking is the exact same. We're doing the holotape games where, you know, the vault looks like the vault. You got the Abraxos. You got the Cogsworths. And it's like, holy shit, you did this, and you didn't do it in a way of, you wanted the pat on the back. You wanted the wink at the camera. You want, like, no, that you made a world here where the outlandish nature of Fallout and the, oh man, they're all irradiated, but they're still alive and there's ghouls. And like, this wouldn't really make sense with how radiation, like, it doesn't matter. Like, they come out, they commit to what the Fallout lore is, what the Fallout world is, and then make a show that I think then allows you to suspend your disbelief. And on the one hand, be like, yeah, the Gulper, I didn't love some of the scenes of him, but then when he opens and he's got all the fingers in his mouth,
great.
It was like, oh, that's a weird touch. And then to get the payoff later on when we get back vault to 4. The vault, and yeah. It's like, oh, okay, like, you're doing this, you're seeding this, you're going. I'm with Blessing that, like, Maximus was a odd character, I feel, in the beginning. I'm trying to get my head wrapped around him, but I fell in love with him throughout. And to get to the end and have it be like episode one, it was very much like, fuck, dude. I mean, Walton Goggins, I just love, period. But, like, the ghoul crushing this. Okay, great. Oh, Lucy, she's pure. She's this. She's from the vault. Oh, I love you, Lucy. You know that. But this Lucy in the show, right? Like, okay, cool. I'm interested to see what it's going to be like when she has, like, even just having the moment of her coming out of the vault and having it be the moment when we've all come out of the vault. But then to get to the end and have Maximus, I think, mean as much to me as the other two that I loved instantaneously, but get there shows the power of what they did here. So, yeah, I'm going to rant and rave about it, but, like, I adore this in a way that, like, I think, Blessing, you said after we did the show, and maybe you touched one of the games again, you forgot how much you, like, how much Fallout meant to you, or yeah, how much of a fan you were. It's a similar thing for me, where I think when I sit there and talk about the games I love and the IPs you attach Greg Miller to, which are many these days, maybe Fallout's not at the top of the list, but it is that idea of, like, fuck, I forgot how much I like Bethesda games and how much I like this world and how much they've poured into it. And so I'm fucking happy as a pig in shit about this, Tim, but what about you?
I am too, man. I think that the show is just such a success, just starting there. I would give it a 5 out of 5 for the season. I, from the jump, was invested, and I finished it. Here I am on the spoiler cast. Never in a million years would I expect that I'd be on a Fallout TV show spoiler cast and liking it so much. But I feel like it. The thing that sold me was on Games Daily, Bless was like, it's like Succession, not Succession, Severance. And he's like, I know you like that, Tim. I think you're going to like this. And you were so right. Like, I feel like the quality and just the set design and costume design and just the amount of iconography that they use, and to somebody that's new to all of this, for them to introduce it to me in a way that I understand and am excited about, is such a Herculean task that somehow they just accomplished with ease. Like, every single plot beat, I understood what was going on. I was excited to see what was happening next. I do wish the show was a weekly release. I feel like that really would have benefited it. But I think that they did a great job just continuing to make me want to come back. I can't wait for a season 2. What an amazing... when we see New Vegas at the end, I haven't played these games, but I'm like, that's one of the games. This is awesome. And also, Vegas is cool as hell. Just imagining Vegas in this world, like, come on, there's going to be some absolutely wild shit there. But I really, really loved Lucy, similar to some of you guys. Maximus, I didn't really vibe with. I think by the end, totally made up for it. Like, I feel like it wasn't so much Maximus that was my problem. I think the Brotherhood stuff is the weakest part of this season. And he is just the face of that. So I think that all kind of goes together. But my God, Walter Goggins, man, the ghoul, Walton Goggins, the ghoul. was the coolest motherfucker. I think that might be my favorite like outfit I've ever seen. Like the tattered, like the cape jacket situation going on, the bandolier going on. So freaking cool. Everything he
said
was
awesome.
Still wearing
the cowboy shirt from, like, you know what I mean? It's all faded and fucked up, but it's the same one from when he rode off with his daughter.
And that to me is kind of the thing that I am most surprised by is the level they went back to the flashbacks of the pre-Fallout times and the mystery that they started setting up with his character. I was so interested in, and I feel like they did such a great job of making it feel like a believable world, and him being an actor, them being in Hollywood, like all that stuff. I was like, oh, this is super cool for the weird retro future vibe that you have going on both in and out of the vaults. But for it to all come together in the final episode of all the storylines connecting, like, it was kind of obvious in a lot of ways. Like, once they gave us all the information in every episode, so it wasn't like it was a major reveal to see it all go down. But it was earned. Like, yeah. it was so satisfying. And I'm like, God damn, dude, her dad is that involved with this whole thing. And that's cool. You know, it didn't feel like just like a twist for twist's sake. It felt like, oh no, this was built too, and this makes sense. And all the experiments in the different vaults, it, like, I love that it's vault 31, 32, 33. That implies there's 1 to 30 and probably a lot more.
Oh, yeah, there's so,
like,
many more too.
It's just so cool. They did such,
it was at least 111.
But they did such great world building with that, where it's like, to somebody that doesn't know that necessarily, I now, like, it just puts you in this place. I feel like the amount of random actors and actresses that would just pop up, and the amount of times I was like, oh shit, it's like, that's cool, you know? And I feel like
Fred Armiston,
Chris Parnell,
amazing. All of it just so fun. But I this is prestige television. I'm so happy they pulled it off. Again, I'm a broken record here, but I can't believe we're in an era that we're getting this and Last of Us and so many other great things. But
again, what I think so impressive about this is that it's an original thing.
Yes.
That it isn't like, oh, we're adapting Fallout 3. We're adapting Fallout 4. And granted, you have to leave because of your dad. But, like, you know what I mean? In terms of, like, they didn't take one of the greatest hits and say, we're going to make that the thing. The fact that they were like, to your what you mentioned earlier, right, and what Todd talked about yesterday, they're like, Nolan's a fan. So, like, they understood the games, right? So they wanted to go in and make it part of this and put it on the official timeline and have all these references. It's like, that's so incredible that they did it and they nailed it and they made something that I think is so additive to the universe.
Yeah, very cool. It being canon to the games, but, like, being an original story is, again, it's a success. They, like, really achieved something special here. I want to get into some real spoiler talks, though. Who wants to start? Like, what is the most spoiler-ready thing you want to talk about?
I mean, I just want to talk about Vault 4.
Yeah.
Vault 4 is probably my favorite segment of the show. The Vault stuff has always been my favorite content in Fallout from the games. And I think having that stuff tackled in a TV show almost works better than in the video games at points, because in the TV show, you have the opportunity to cut back and cut away and, like, go, all right, you know, we can expand on what the Vault story was that we emerged from as far as, like, Vaults 33, 32, and 31. Because I think in the first episodes, they didn't even allude to 31. I feel like 31 kind of came out of nowhere.
31 they reference because that's where, like I think her dad is referenced to coming from 31, and so is her cousin.
But they, like, I feel like it was kind of like a quick thing. You don't think about Vault 31.
Yeah. It's like, also, like, the same way, like, Hank calls the house. And he's just like, Henry, the rabid fan. You just don't think about it.
Yeah.
And it all
yeah.
comes back at the end. It's like,
and
oh.
So, yeah, as soon as they start unpacking that stuff, I love that you could do that. I love that you could have Norm, Lucy's brother, like, on a different quest than what Lucy's on.
Yep.
And, yeah, like, get cutbacks to, oh, but there's even more stuff happening here that is going to make this vault really interesting. I think Vault 4, when you get there and you're like, oh, what's going down? Like, they're going to fucking harvest some organs, or, like, there's going to be some crazy shit. And you meet the vault overseer that has the one eye in the center of his face.
Awesome.
And it hilarious. Is, like, nobody's paying any attention to it except for Lucy and Maximus, right? They're like, oh, man, like, what's going on here? And you see all the different mutated stuff. You're trying to figure out, all right, what's going on here? Like, what is the experiment here? And then you get to the cult shit, and you're like, okay, well, what the fuck? And then you learn that it's like, oh, okay, there was a vault here before. These people are all people that came through after. I thought that stuff was handled in such an entertaining way. And I don't know, I just love that whole sequence.
And it was another great cliffhanger, right? Yeah. Of that episode where they just fall down the chute and then we're in a vault and it cuts. Like, damn. Yeah. They did such a great job of, I gotta watch another one.
Oh, yeah.
Jen, can you stay up for another one? I gotta watch another. You know what I mean? Like, keep turning and going.
I want to get to a couple super chats real quick. Jordan White says, thank you for doing this while 76 is down. Fills my Fallout need. We're here for you, everybody. DJ Kento says, could anyone else almost see the dialogue choices when Lucy frees the ghouls in the organ traders' super-duper mart freezers? The consequences of playing lawful good too closely. It feels so true to Fallout.
Yeah,
100%. Like, and I think that's, again, like, why I think this is such a successful adaptation of a world we know and a game game design we know, right? Where it was that, it was them getting sidetracked by side quests. Of course, you know, the ghoul saying as much, right? Of like, that's the first rule of the wasteland, getting sidetracked by bullshit or whatever.
Love that.
Like, that was awesome. That was incredible. Even just the head of like, all right, we're taking the head. This is the MacGuffin. The way it gets kicked around, other people picking it up. Like, they did such a great job taking what you do in a Fallout game and making it here and just making the wandering feel like you were in the game, let alone the dialogue.
Only Special Feature says, as a Twin Peaks fan, young Henry reveal, I lost my mind. Love, Kyle MacLachlan. Is Michael Mario Rivera writing in?
Kyle's the actor.
He must have changed his name. Yeah, Kyle. Yeah, exactly. He was great.
Right? Yeah.
Like, what a great... That actor is always dope, but like seeing him in this role, I thought he crushed it. And again, with some twists that I just didn't really...
Yeah.
From the beginning, obviously, didn't see coming, but like even just the way he acted in the end, I was like, whoa, this is pretty intense.
Totally, right? And I think that, again, like what a bunch of shitheads all the fucking Vault-Tec folks are, right? And so, you know, Buds... What are they? Buds?
Oh, Buds Buds?
Buds Buds. That was like... To get into those flashbacks and have those moments and have those little conversations was like... Man, fuck Bud or whatever, and then have the reveal that he's the brain, and then like the young Henry thing, right, where they do it again so well to see Walton Goggins, right, sitting there hearing his wife sell out the human race, right,
crazy,
and then we're reeling from that, he's reeling from that, and then Henry walks in, which is gonna set us off to reel, which then makes you go, oh shit, Betty is actually Betty. Like, yeah. Betty is the overseer we're eventually going to meet in Vault 33.
I didn't clock that. And then she and he goes, oh, thanks, Betty. I was like, oh.
Yeah, exactly. And it was another one of those like little like, oh, man, you guys did such a good job of seeding this stuff in there and going. But yeah, back to it of like, I think the actor like you're talking about, right?
Kyle,
thank you so much. Who we've seen in so many things, obviously. And I know him from Twin Peaks, but I never watched Twin Peaks. So I just know him as all the different things he's done in Sex and the City and whatever. Like, now you get here, right? And it's like, he's such a warm, welcoming father to then be stolen. Like, all right, what's going on? And then to get there and have him be bad, right? Have him get shot in the face, have him fly off. Like, so much good stuff there. And like, to your point, Blessing, and I agree that there would have been great conversations week to week about it. I'm now left with like all the conversations I want to have about what season two is, right? Like him flying away, you know, Ghoul being like, it's easier to chase a stuck pig or, you know, wounded pig or whatever. I was like, fuck, like I can't, what are they going to do in Vegas? Who's it going to be? What's happening?
I loved a lot of the misdirection too when it came to that stuff of seeing somebody in the past scenes and then being like, all right, so how are they here then? Like some of like even Moldaver, I don't think they explained exactly what happened. Like you have to assume that she was in cryo-freeze.
But where did she get into a cryo-freeze, right?
Who knows,
right? Not that this is, you know, obviously we saw in Fallout 4, there's also cryo-freeze there. So there's like, obviously this isn't one vault that had it in 30.
Yeah, there could be multiple vaults to have it. But like, you know, there are the theories that are going through my brain as we're getting those flashbacks and also getting conversations with Maximus earlier in the season between him and Lucy talking about, yeah, like Reclamation Day is this, and he's like, "Well, no, like the war happened just recently. Like it happened when I was a kid," and having that timeline be confused in a way, and then as they kept going with it, I was like, "Oh, maybe Maximus is right," or like having played Fallout's right, I'm like, "Maybe they're synths." Like
that's my thing with Moldiver, where I really hope that she turns out to be a synth, because synths can bleed right with synthetic blood. So it's not like we see her; she sits there, she's dead. Like there's a whole bunch of shit I know, but it's like, I think that would be a fun way of, there was this woman who was there leading the resistance way back in the day, right? And then she's obviously brilliant and knows all the science and was able to save her brain, put it into a synth, whatever, make an AI version of herself. I hope it's not just, oh yeah, she cryogenically froze herself at another vault or some other where.
Yeah.
Question from Ignorance here. When we get the scene of the Vault-Tec people all kind of talking about like, here's what we're going to do. What is their plan? Like, where, like, if they're going to just destroy the world, what are they going to do?
I assume they go into their own
special vault. Oh, yeah, they have their own vault.
They have their own
special vault. Yeah.
In the games, do we ever see that?
I don't think you ever... I don't want to speak out of turn on that one.
Walton Goggins' character, his wife, is talking about, like, the reason she's putting up with all this shit is because she's trying to get them in one of the good vaults.
Because there are vaults that aren't crazy experiments.
Yeah.
There are control vaults that are, like, whatever. Oh. Let alone VIP Vault-Tec vaults.
Yeah. And also, he says, like, I want to know what happened to my family as well. So I'm just like, that's a season two threat that I want to play.
Even
just thinking about that, where it's like, if they were in cryo, if they're a synth or whatever, he's been alive and like part of it, he's been underground and just kept alive forcefully, but he's been having like 200 plus years to just stew on this stuff.
Yeah.
I can't wait to see what he does.
Yeah, and if you want to get like into the weeds, like you can go, and my TikTok is filled with everyone breaking down everyone in that room, right? Because it's Rob Coe, and it's all these other people, and it's this guy, this is the dude from New Vegas, and he did this, and he had his own vault that was his own, like. That's like,
wait, so there's in that room there were characters from the games?
Yeah. Oh yeah, yeah. No, no. Like a lot of those guys are. It's not cool, all of them.
Guys.
Yeah. No, no, no. That's the whole thing. Is like, if it depends. I love Fallout, as we've said here. I love Fallout and doing my story and finding the crazy shit and yada yada yada. I'm not the Fallout lore guy, and like, there's so much lore layered into this show in terms of like, oh well, that guy did this, and he doesn't believe him because he's got his own thing that he's doing, and it's like, it's crazy, just the glances and the cameos and what those people at that table mean.
Damn, that is extra damn cool. I want to keep talking about this, but I want to do that after a quick word from our sponsors.
Looking for the perfect gift to celebrate the moms in your life? Aura frames are beautiful Wi-Fi connected digital picture frames that allow you to share and display unlimited photos. It's super easy to upload and share photos via the Aura app. And if you're giving Aura as a gift, you can even personalize the frame with preloaded photos and memories. How do I, Greg Miller from Kinda Funny, know so much about Aura? Because I just gave Jen one for her birthday. I used the QR code on the box to preload it with photos of her and Benny. And when she booted it up for the first time, she got to see a sweet little message from me. I like this frame so much that I am actually legitimately buying one for my mother for Mother's Day. From grandmothers to new mothers, aunts, and even friends in your life, every mom loves an Aura frame. Right now, Aura has a great deal for Mother's Day. Listeners can save on the perfect gift by visiting AuraFrames.com to get $30 off plus free shipping for their best-selling frame. That's AuraFrames.com. Use code KINDAFUNNY at checkout to save. And mom, if you see this before you get your Aura frame for Mother's Day, please act surprised.
Couple more super chats for you. Mara says, shout out to Johnny Pemberton from Superstore as the Squire. Absolutely hilarious. Loved him. And DJ Kento says, I can't get over this. Johnny Pemberton, who plays Thaddeus, he's older than Greg. That guy will play young people forever.
Wow.
God bless him.
Good for him. Thaddeus. He might live on forever because he's probably a ghoul running around somewhere.
See, I think he's a super mutant.
Which will be very exciting.
I'm convinced he's turning into a super mutant. Because I'm surprised a few things. I'm surprised there weren't super mutants in season one, but I also like it because that means they're holding things back. But then also...
Waiting for budget, too.
Yeah, waiting for budget. But I think if you're going to make super mutants, I think he would make such a good super mutant, especially if he retained his personality, because he's such like a fucking just goober.
He's a fuck, dude.
So imagine that character and his personality and his voice now in this fucking bulked up, fucking dominant body type. I think that'd be hilarious, and I think that's what they're going for.
They did a fantastic job holding back the two big ones, which is the Deathclaw and the super mutants.
Yes.
Tell me what those things are.
Claw, what's up? Right?
What are those things?
Well, the super mutants, of course, are, you know, in some vaults, people are working on genetic mutations, and some people were turned into super mutants, which we saw. And then the Deathclaws, I don't know what the heck those are. I think those came from a vault, but those are the iconic beasts that we all know.
I was reading up on this yesterday because I'm a nerd. Deathclaws, I believe, were like a government weapon to kind of like replace humans in battle. And then they escaped and just took over. Took over the free
world. Classic.
Yeah. But they did a great job holding those back. So it's like they teased it.
Yeah.
And we saw the super mutant hand on the Enclave as well. So that was on one of the gurneys walking by. So we saw both of those kind of, but it will be exciting to see if they pull those out. New Vegas, that shot, that will be awesome, right? Of like, is Mr. House in control? We're kind of on this interesting timeline of it's 200 years after all that stuff. So where does it line up? Who's still around? What will they reference? Will we have players that we chose are kind of endings? Will those be referenced or will it just be its own thing, right? Because they can kind of play with however they want.
Yeah, this is one of the other ones I ran into right at the TikTok of like the ending of Fallout 4. A canonical choice, right, of between these two groups. But then the way they interact here makes it seem like that didn't happen, or maybe they must have won here if they came all the way out here, because this ship is the same ship. And it's like, and then Thaddeus, what's Rackham? The knight he acts like he is?
Titus.
Titus has a Boston accent, so then is he actually from out there in the Commonwealth? And that's what that... So did the Brotherhood of Steel win? Is that canon? And then I think they're going to leave, and this is something Todd talked a little bit about yesterday, right? Of like, they don't want to get... They don't want to muddy those things for what you made happen. Yeah, and I think there's obviously a million ways around it, right? Of like, oh, well, whatever you chose is fine because it's, you know, years and years later, right?
Yeah, it's 15 years after New Vegas, and I think they could... do something where it's like, no matter what ending was chosen, just Vegas got fucked up somehow, and we just don't know the answer of why.
It'll be cool if they reference Mr. House. I want to see the Securitrons, which are the big rolling robots that we kind of like Mr. Handy, but with the one wheel that you fall in love with Mr. Yes. So there's like
they
some
have
really
to
cool ones.
Have Mr. House in there, right? I mean, he was such a big part of New Vegas.
It would be sweet. Yeah. It'd be cool.
Greg, you just slacked me some facts about Mr. House here.
Yeah, Frederick Sinclair is the one I was talking about from the Fallout DLC, and he has the casino. He's the one, only you could lose money on a casino or whatever. That's in the ref. It's like, fuck, oh, that's awesome. They're doing that. And then, yeah, Mr. House. I'm reading from a Screenrant article, right? Robert House, founder of Robco Industries. Better known as Mr. House, Robert House was the founder of Robco Industries and a major character in Fallout New Vegas. Like the ghoul, Mr. House had a life before and after the Great War. With the financial and technological resources at his disposal, as the head of Robco, Mr. House was able to ensure he survived the apocalypse by preserving his body via life support and connecting his consciousness to a supercomputer. Later, Mr. House founded the New Vegas community and in turn became a powerful figure in the Wasteland. Because of Mr. House's surprise cameo in the finale, the door is now open for the character to factor heavily into Fallout Season 2. New Vegas is set to be a key location when the show returns, so it's not impossible that he'll appear, potentially as an antagonistic role. And they go on a little bit more.
Yeah, it's cool. One of his final lines is, he says, 20 years from now, I want to reignite the high-tech development. 50 years, I want to send someone to orbit. In 100 years, I want to get a colony of ships to head to the stars. So if we're 15 years out, as Barrett says, it would be interesting of, like, he's looking to start reigniting some tech going on, and we just saw some high, cool tech coming out of there. Hoover Dam as well, is that powering Fallout New Vegas? That will be cool to see, because that was the big battle point of Hoover Dam is powering all of the Vegas power, so that will be awesome to see. And some really cool people. Gosh.
DJ Kendall says, did you know that Shady Sands is a major location in Fallout 1 and 2? The destruction holds weight for old school fans.
Cool. Oh, I know, because this was the other big hullabaloo on Fallout TikTok of like...
You're really in on Fallout TikTok.
I love it. I mean, well, TikToks are so great. I can also tell you about all these dogs now. It's like they have the timeline and it's like the fall of Shady Sands, and I guess the date they put up there doesn't necessarily equate to what it should have been, but people are kind of arguing that, number one, how do you keep information straight in the Wasteland? Number two, the fall doesn't necessarily mean the destruction, right? So it's like a whole thing. But I this is an interwoven universe they've made, again, to show how much they care about this thing.
Super cool. Lucy, where do you want to go next?
I want to talk about Norm.
Go for Norm!
That's my guy right there.
When we see Norm again.
I love Norm was focused on the main quest. Everybody else is out there just bullshitting around. Norm was like, no, there's a main mission that needs to be solved right now.
I love that he was just like, I feel like I would be the Norm. If I was in a vault, where I would just be
you
like,
"You hate every job." He's like, "You're in a quagmire. Can't punish a guy who hates all things equally."
Yeah, what are you gonna do? But like, also, I would absolutely hide if we were attacked, and I would just, you know, I would let people who are more suited to fighting. Because look at me, I'm scrawny. I'm not gonna do anything. But no, I just love the fact that he was not even this voice of reason, just this curious character who was like, he was afraid, and then he just. Kind of like Severance again. Like Severance and Westworld are the two touch points that I keep coming back to, and I think just in terms of those, you always have the character who is just a little bit afraid, a little bit withdrawn, doesn't really want to engage, but is so overcome by curiosity. And so I'm rooting for him immediately because I am dying to know what's happening. So every time like Norm was on, I was just like, oh thank God, okay, we're getting somewhere. And I just love the way that he was just. You know, when he's kind of coming up against Betty and she's trying to warn him and he kind of is over, he's defiant, but not in a super overt way.
Yeah.
And he's just like, no, I'm going to get to the bottom of this. I'm going to do it my way. And then I love that the little relationship that he had with Chet.
Yeah.
Because.
You're a coward.
That's great.
Just like, poor Chet ends up like, just what a himbo character. I immediately was so endeared to him because he was, you know, he's obviously so in love with his cousin. But I was endeared to him because he's such a little himbo. And he was just, you know, he's sad because he lost his job as the gatekeeper. And then he kind of becomes the de facto, just, he gets dragged along for the ride with Norm. And just I love their little relationship. And the fact that, yeah, Norm is the guy who gets to the bottom of things. And he doesn't have to leave the safety of the vault in order he goes into the other vaults, but he doesn't have to go to the surface in order to do it. And I just love the way that he is the reasonable person, because if you look at life in a vault, it is so weird. And it's like, yeah, when people are just smiling all the time and just being so happy and upbeat and, y'all, we're doing this for the future and everything. I was like, I would get immediately freaked out about that. It's kind of how I feel sometimes about Disney adults.
Sure.
Mm. Oh, okay.
Right?
Yeah, yeah.
Find some Disney joy adults in your life, Lucy. I don't know what to tell you. No.
I like Disney. Don't get me wrong. I love going to Disneyland.
It's like, be sad.
She hears
but
the back
sometimes, yeah, sometimes you got to be sad, man.
Yeah.
Sometimes Mickey Mouse has
a bad
day.
Trust me, you can be sad at Disneyland.
Norm took us to some cool places. Like, we got into the overseer's office, which had that iconic shot of, like, the cool background window looking down on everything in the main area. Was so cool. He did the hacking on the computer.
When he was doing the hacking.
When we finally saw it, it was like, oh my God, it's just like the game. Like, that was the coolest moment around. And then going to the other vault with Chet and, like, seeing the destruction and everything's dead and, like, there's some mystery here. And, man, nothing was freakier than when they went back and everything was cleaned up again. Yeah. And he's looking at Chet and he's looking back and you're like, who did all this? What are they doing? That was eerie and fun. That was a really good part of the show.
One thing I like about how they revealed the twist of every single overseer being from Vault 31 was you get that information the same way that you would get it in the game.
Yes.
Like, I had to rewind because I was like, oh, I wasn't, like, paying attention. Like,
I did the exact same
need
thing
to actually read and see that, oh, every overseer is from the same vault. That's weird. And they don't tell you that. They expect you to, like, actually read what's going on.
And he has to do the weird unlock game to get that information. Yeah. It's so good.
Because what's the rhyme? It's like, something's wrong, get someone from 31 or something.
Yeah.
Like, I love that that's just an ingrained part of life in the vault. And then when you think about it, you're like, oh, that's messed up.
Yeah, for like sure.
Greg's on Fallout TikTok, and I'm like kind of on Fallout Twitter. And so I keep seeing theories. And one of the theories I saw that I really like is that now that Norm's stuck in that, like, Vault 31 cryo freeze place, that maybe we see him in a future season just as the mysterious stranger. Like, he's like the guy that knows what's going on, and now he's, like, in this place where we might not see him for a while, or like maybe he figures out. But if he appears in season 3 or 4 or something, and it's just like a random stranger that is just helping out because he knows, like, whatever the conspiracy is, I don't know. I like the idea of him coming back in that way.
Well, that
when things are glum, vote for 31.
That was it.
That's where one of my theories comes in, right? Because we know that the ghoul is looking for his family, right? And she was pretty high up. Is she in 31 where he would be? So now we go all the way to New Vegas, and it's like, oh, psych, your wife was working high up with us. She's back there.
I don't think
so.
They go out of their way to talk about being, it's Bud's in there, right? It's junior management, or, you know, whatever, the training program. Those are the people in there, right? It's the assistant. Yeah. It's the secretary. It's like, I think she's in the higher level vault.
Well, the question is, I think she took the kid.
Yeah, well, when the bomb dropped, he had the kid in his hands. Like, how far did they go on that horse?
I mean, you're going to get that flashback, right? I bet he gets to the vault.
And she figures out that that's what he was, like, Pip-Boy was transmitting
to. No, because, see, they're already fucked at that point.
Really?
That's my interpretation of it, right? Because, like, we never see the fall of the marriage. We see him find out his wife is selling America, or the world out, right? But in our introduction to him, he's there, and they're like, why is this former Hollywood star doing this? And the one guy goes, alimony. Yep. And then the other goes, the commie will still take my money. I think between that and then flashing back to him finding out, he confronts her, and she tells Vault-Tec, or she herself runs the campaign that he's a communist, we're getting divorced, it ruins his movie career, he can't work in films anymore, he does these parties, and then we get here.
I've never had a moment where I've felt so much of, like, oh, you're straight up evil with her.
Yeah.
I mean, that was crazy, man.
Oh, dude, the drop of, like, drop the bomb ourselves.
Yeah.
Wow.
So good.
Well, shot so well,
because he's going, like, yeah, do it, you know, talk some sense into them. And she's like, yeah, let's drop the bomb. And he's like,
that's crazy.
Yeah, it really is. Also, shout out to the actress that plays Betty, who's also Blind Al in the Deadpool movies.
Oh,
she's
great.
Yeah. Enjoyed her quite a bit. Got to see her in it's a very different role than I'm used to seeing her in.
Leslie Uggams.
And then we got another super chat from CJ Splits on saying, what can Last of Us learn from Fallout? I'm of the mind nothing. Where I like that one can be a straight adaptation for the most part, and one can be, hey, we're in the world, but we're telling our own story. Good. Both of those things should be able to exist at the level of quality that they do.
But that's the thing, though. I like, my favorite episode of The Last of Us is the Bill and Frank episode that is not the one that is following the game one-to-one. It's something which takes place in the world, tells its own story, and so you recognize the touch points, you know the characters, but you haven't experienced this story. I would love to see more of that in Last of Us Season 2, because I've played Last of Us many times. I think the show is also great, but I think I had a great appreciation of Fallout and the world of Fallout because the foundation is so strong that you can just tell all these cool stories in it.
I think there are so many executives and creators right now talking to each other about adapting video games into TV shows and movies because it's been working so well lately. Mm-hmm. And I think it's not necessarily what Last of Us can learn from Fallout, but what everything else can learn from Fallout. Because for me personally, I've been more excited about a Fallout TV adaptation than I was for the Last of Us adaptation. Last of Us adaptation was that thing where we always knew it was going to be good. Cool. Mm-hmm. HBO's working on it. It's going to be fantastic. All right, it's Last of Us. I think the thing for me of why Fallout's working better for me as a fan watching something, maybe not on like the critical level, I think still Last of Us in terms of the Emmys and awards or whatever is cleaning up, right?
1,000%.
Like, that's Last of Us's bag. I don't think Fallout's going to have that effect necessarily, but I think the thing that works for me as a fan is the fact that, I'm bought into a lot of these games for their worlds. I am bought into something like Fallout for the world and the stories that they're telling in that world. I think you can adapt a Mass Effect, and if you do, tell another story in that world. You don't have to retread the same thing that we've been through. Last of Us for a TV show, I'm enjoying watching because it is the member berries, right? Of like, oh yeah, I remember this scene. Oh yeah, this is when
they're Ellie putting on the shirts. They're wearing the shirts.
Like, I remember all this stuff from the, and like, that's the enjoyment for me as a game player, right? But I think that's also more for people who haven't played the game and want to experience Last of Us in this way and like maybe just aren't interested in video games. Fallout works on all levels, where it is for me as somebody who plays the games, I am so into the show. And I'm sure for people who haven't played the games, Tim Gettys are still going to be so into the show because it just works. It's a good show that is giving you new content in that world that you love. I want to see more of that as opposed to retreading a lot of the same story beats that we've already gotten in mediums that are similar enough. You know, like Last of Us and like a lot of these games are already cinematic. I'm not as interested in the same stories, but yeah, something new I'm way more interested in.
Amazon, if you are making the Mass Effect show, I have ideas. Hit me up.
Hit her up. I have questions. Burning questions that I'd like to ask the group some things that I'm looking forward to. Like, you know, my can they make this happen questions to start off with. Can they make fun and suspenseful vault stories just like we saw with 31, 32, and 33? There are some very cool vaults in New Vegas in the video game itself. It'll be interesting to see what they use because when they bring up the map, it doesn't look like there is 6 to 7 vaults in New Vegas area. It looks a little bit less than that. So I wonder what they'll do on that kind of front. But I want to know if they can make another good vault story like what we got.
Easy.
I think every season you get a Vault 4 type episode where it is you explore a new vault and it is what is the wacky thing going on here? Like, what is the weird thing going on here?
The wacky thing.
What's the
Vault 4 was so
thing?
Wacky.
Vault
the guy with the eye in the middle was
yeah, yeah.
Two noses?
Two noses? That's wacky.
Vault 21, they turn Mr. House turns that into a hotel, which is pretty cool. Vault 24 was never in the game, but there's a jumpsuit that references it, which is pretty cool. 34 has the big radiation and all the weaponry, so that will be dope. I mean, there's a lot of like really cool ones in there.
The Gary Vault?
Yeah, Vault 11, where you have to sacrifice one person every single year until it was the final 5 people and they decided to not leave the vault and give up. And then 4 of them killed themselves, but only one survived. So will we get that person? Probably.
Was that you? Your Battle Royale win?
Nuclear Winter, I'm number one.
Number, I'm probably going to screw this up. Yeah, what's the one where it's the one woman and 99 men?
That's
and
then 68.
Then there's the 99 women and
that's
one 69, man.
That's 69, yeah.
And in the one, it goes the opposite of how you probably thought it would go, where it's when it's the one woman, she becomes queen and like can just dictate what she wants. And then when it's the women and one man, they're just like, we don't even need the man. They just figure it out on their own. I'm like, great.
But the big question I have for all of you is, so is Cooper Howard the vault boy, or does he just give him the iconic pose of the thumbs up? That's where I'm lost.
Pose. I don't think he's the actual vault boy.
I don't think he's vault boy.
My read on that was that vault boy already existed, and then he is like a guy who plays him in the commercial or whatever and does the thumbs up and is on the billboard or whatever. But it could go the other way because he does have the billboard poster. But it felt like I'm a little hazy with the years, obviously, too. It feels like he's so iconic as Vault Boy that I feel like he would have had to have predated Cooper.
Because they gave him the suit and she was like, well, it's blue and yellow for you and you're
right. They
colors.
Did do that. They so did like, do that.
Okay, clearly he's starting this. Then he does the pose. So it's like,
he made the thumbs up.
Are definitely him too. It's like, okay, well, Vault Boy's now probably just inspired.
They must be
some kind of inspiration. I don't know if like he is Vault Boy, but I think.
But he would have to be. He nails it with the suit colors, right? This is probably so early in the Vault Tech thing.
I guess the main difference is he's not blonde.
Yeah.
Yeah, but like it would be interesting if, especially because we know that his relationship with his wife like definitely deteriorates and he gets out as a communist. Like, what if he was supposed, like, what if they're supposed to base Vault Boy on him, and then because
they
of all this,
oh, they make him blonde.
My read was that he was inspiration, but like, it's not, he isn't necessarily playing Vault Boy in the commercial.
But that's what I'm saying is like, maybe that, you know, what they turned Vault Boy to be, maybe originally they were going to make Vault Boy after him, but then all this stuff comes out of him, you know, not really trusting Vault-Tec and being outed as a commie and all this shit, and then they get a different actor.
Fucking
to
commies.
A blonde actor.
I love the outfits. Like, they look so good.
I want one.
And it's like the translation awesome, from like just the cartoon Vault Boy that I've always seen to the live action version. I was like, damn, this is very, very impressive costume design. And again, the Vault production design is so good. And like, it just, it's claustrophobic in all the right ways. And even episode one, where you kind of see the like projected fields and the sky, it's like, man, this is like such a great, eerie ass place to be. And I loved getting out of it and all that. I just feel like they did such a great job with the world building through production design stuff that the game's world finally makes sense to me, and I think that's very cool.
Did you guys watch Silo on Apple TV? That might be a good chaser for this. It's Rebecca Ferguson, and it's very Fallout. They live in a giant silo under the ground, and they are told that they can never go outside for some weird reason, and it's very 10 episodes, I think. It's
okay.
Amazing. Apple TV, like, I watched that, I think, and Severance and Bad Sisters in one go. Apple TV's got some great stuff.
Apple TV's Apple where TV's it's at, man. Stuff.
But Silo is probably a good chaser.
Did you ever see Blast from the Past? Brendan Fraser, Alicia Silverstone, and Christopher Walken.
Don't watch that, actually. Me and Nick Sissy turned Spacek. That on one day. Not doesn't
oh,
age
no.
well.
In Cloverfield Lane. It's a good one.
Cloverfield Lane, yeah.
Oh,
good.
Yeah.
It's a really good one.
Until the last 10 minutes.
Ever see Room?
Room's
the
so
Room
good.
Or Room?
I forget which one. You know what I'm doing. The way you get locked in a fucking room. You know what I mean?
That movie's incredible. Greg, you have a little section you wanted to do here called The Follies, where we give a little awards to...
I thought it'd be a fun little one for you. Now that you can talk about anything, right?
Just to kind of roll this out in the final couple minutes of this spoiler cast here.
Super Chats, you can answer.
Yeah, too. Super Chats. Feel free to write in if you have an MVP of the show, a favorite twist, favorite fight, or a favorite game reference. Let's start with favorite game reference. Any pop to y'all's mind?
For me, I the Stimpak, sure, throw it out, but it's more, I paused the show when we have the scene between Lucy, the Cogsworth, the stoners who are running the drug trade there or whatever, where I had to pause it and be like, Jen doesn't play, and I'm like, Jen, you have to understand, that is the blood bag from the game that you get and use, and I know I've already talked about the Stimpak, but the Abraxas, it is like, just the set design they did there looks like level design, where it is like, there's stuff there, but it's not a million different things like it would be, I think, in a real like flop house or whatever. But it's filthy in the exact way all the interiors or Fallouts are filthy, and it's got the exact props in there. I was just like, this is so crazy. This is so the game come to life, let alone, as we were talking earlier, her then having, or as DJ Kento brought up, that you can see the dialogue choices. You see them asking to make choices, the bartering for the thing. Now what do you do? All right, the ghouls are coming. It's like, damn, this is impressive.
I really liked the ghoul going into Vets in episode two when he had the shootout in Philly, which was very confusing for me because, well, I don't know why you call this place Philly. Like, I think it's because it's a landfill, but I came into work the next day and I was like, Mike, are they in California? I'm confused. I thought they said Philadelphia. Turns out Philly's just a place. But yeah,
just
like,
state of mind.
When they get into the shootout and you have the slow motion and you're following the bullets and it's like, taking people out, like, and you see the body parts just fucking exploding and shit. That was so cool.
Yeah. That's my favorite fight.
Yeah. Mike, you got one?
I liked Red Rocket Gas Station. I mean, that is one that's been through all of them, but that Fallout 4, how early that is when you come across Red Rocket and the paint on the side of it, and then how they put it in the show. It's like, oh my God, this is so cool. And then, yes, dog meat, but it's not dog meat, but they call it dog meat. And it's like, it's so cute, right? Of like, that's perfect. So yeah, those are my favorite.
Greg, you already mentioned this one, but for me, I just loved the line of him being like, don't get distracted out there by the side stuff. I was like, that's so cute.
The
man.
War Never Changes drop was really good too.
Yeah.
I didn't expect it to come from her.
Yeah.
That's a good one. That was a good one.
Favorite twist. I mean, I'm just going to, like, the last episode to me, I just thought they did such a good job of putting everything together. But having all three main storylines kind of connect the way that it did, like, that was so satisfying and just like such a great end to the season. Like, it was awesome.
I just think, like, seeing what was in 31, I think that was a really satisfying result from that one. Because, they built it up so cleverly. the way they doled it out, that cliffhanger at the end of like the penultimate episode, loved it.
Yeah, I mean, twists, I would say it was for me, the Betty reveal slash Hank reveal, but I give it even more to Betty of like, I just didn't even think we were doing it at the time. And to have the little stupid thing of Bud constantly interrupting Walton Goggins with his dumb idea, and you're just like, shut the fuck up, why are you doing it? And it's like, oh, that actually happens, that actually gets off the ground and leads to all that. That's incredible and amazing, right?
Yeah.
You're talking about lines. I thought you were going a different way. I tweeted about it. When they finish the flashback of Walton Goggins, you know, getting to the bottom of this, and not the one where he actually figures it out, but where he's at home or whatever, and then it's him and Dog Meat, and he says, sorry, Dog Meat, you're just not him.
Oh, dude.
You know what I mean? Breaks my heart to this day. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, holy shit, that one was too close to home. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But just, again, that's what the show can do, right? Yep. If I'm so bought into these characters and the journey of the ghoul, right, that I can fucking sit there and be like, oh, fuck, that feels too real.
Slushy says, the mom is a ghoul shock. Yeah.
Yes. That was oh, my God.
Yeah. It
saw
was,
coming.
As soon as we walked in, I was like, oh, that's her. That's cool. Yeah. That was, yeah, yeah.
And then DJ Kendall says, the ghoul 100% has the bloody mess perk.
Oh.
Which one is the bloody mess?
That's one where you explode everybody and everything, right?
Mm.
Fun.
Because, yeah, that's it. Because that's where you get the usual vats exploding, the eye coming out.
My favorite twist might be the seeing the overseer of Vault 31, it being like this little robot.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, it was so funny.
Yeah. Just stuck. It was
Bud.
I like
come
four.
Here, I have to inject you.
I like four, like having the realization that they were testing on people and what was going on, and then now four of what they're trying to do and setting things right. That was really like, at first, like Blessing said, right, the cliffhanger of like, oh shit, there's some freaky stuff going on here, to then you leave that going, oh, like those are just some decent people just trying to, you know, make
them good for them. The Vault four overseer dude, or I guess just the, like, I guess technically he's not the overseer, but the leader, that the guy with the one eye. Him being like a kind of like a racist comedian kind of character, and having like making the jokes and being like, I don't know, I thought it was funny. I don't know why they don't think it's funny. That killed me. That's fucking funny, dude.
When they left and he had the core with him, and Lucy looks at him and is like, you got to give it back. And he's like, really? And then like they have the moment where they drop it through the thing and they're like, yeah! Like, that was a great moment. That was awesome.
Yeah, that entire thing was great.
Oh,
yeah,
the care package where they banish her too. Yeah. So Scoopy mentions
it. He grabs the Nuka-Cola machine, just throws it, and she's like, chill.
Yes, so someone will take it to the surface for you. I really loved that line.
Oh, yeah. Any favorite fights you guys want to talk about?
I mean,
feel like the fights weren't the action in this show wasn't what I was here for.
Oh.
Yeah, I agree with that, but I still appreciated the one we just talked about of, yeah, Maximus interrupting the banishment ceremony and fucking shit up there. And then, even though it's not technically a fight or whatever, when it is... Knight Titus, the original Titus, Knight Titus. Right? When he's running from the bear, fuck, and then I get him and it's mauling him. I'm like, this is fun, this is cool.
Sorry, go ahead.
Well, I'll say I like the tension of, I think it was Lucy and Maximus crossing the bridge, and there were two other people that were crossing the bridge at the same time. The tension of that, and like waiting for shit to go down, I liked.
That was a good one. I don't think anything topped the first episode for me, because I think it encapsulated the opening of a video game for Fallout so well, of just like shit hitting the fan, and just like that entire sequence of people getting stabbed in the eye with forks, and just like how insane people can become when their life is threatened, which we see with all the vault dwellers in the first episode, I thought was really, really good.
Got to be the finale with the LA observatory or whatever.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
And like
Griffin
seeing-
Observatory.
Seeing, of course, the Brotherhood of Steel come in with all of the birds flying in, and then Moldova and her group fighting off. Like, that was a really cool scene. I liked that a lot. Mm.
And then here we go to close this out. MVP of the show. I mean, a star. It's the easiest thing in the world. It's the ghoul, baby. He's so freaking awesome. Anytime he was on screen, I was captivated. I can't believe that this season ended with him and Lucy going off on an adventure. I'm like, that's exactly what I want from a season two. Let's go.
Sam is the ghoul. I think he's easily the best character in the show. Walton Goggins destroys playing that character.
To give someone different, like, I love the Doctor, just how kind of he had the, you know, he was kind of doing the right thing. He was working for the Enclave. He was doing all these experiments, and then he kind of realized that he was the bad guy. And so took the dog, kept it safe, and then was like, sacrificed himself. Well, he didn't. He was dying, but he was just like, yo, take my head, find your dad. Kind of did the right thing in death, and, you know. Love me some Michael Emerson.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, Walton Goggins kills it and is amazing. I would, since for differences, right, I would toss out Lucy. I would toss out Ella Purnell. I thought her performance was amazing. Gosh, so good. And again, like, she's, I think when you watch her on screen, I find her captivating, right? She has these huge eyes, and I think it worked so well for the visual storytelling of this naive girl who only knows the vault and assumes everything's going to be okie-dokie outside, but also then the little things that set it off of like, oh, right, the vault is a fucked up place and weird. Of like, she's been trying stuff with her cousin, right? But she's excited to do this, and what's your sperm count? And they fuck right away. And it's just like, oh, shit, like, she has been bred for a purpose here, and that's what's happening. To then get her out and have her lose those ideals but kind of keep them as well, right? When she gives the ghoul the medicine, she's like, I may look like you one day, but I'll never be you. It's like, that's a fun take and a cool thing. And then even at the end, obviously drawing the gun on what you think is the ghoul, but then turning and shooting her mom, right? Like really putting her past to rest and go off on this adventure.
She was incredible. And I think Bless was saying this earlier, but it's like the her being this like kind of archetype of just being like goody two shoes shit. It's like, I feel like that's such an easy way for me to be like, I don't care about you. I don't believe in you as a character. Like that's just like too far of a stretch for me to believe someone would act that way. But because of the world and how they set it up and her acting, I was like, I am so invested in you as a character and I believe in this. And it doesn't feel corny. It feels like I'm very sympathetic towards her because it's like, oh, man, like that's unfortunate that that's the life that you lived and very believable. So, yeah, shout out to her for sure. But, Mike, take us home.
I like going last because I get to throw out the ones that we didn't say. And so I'm going to give love to Norm and how he carried that story in the vault. I want to give love to the overseers that wanted to be, which was Zach, which was Woody, and Reg. Those two were so funny trying to go up against Betty. That was awesome. So shout out to those guys over there. And
then one dude's like, I didn't vote for you. It's okay. And he keeps over-explaining.
I put up 10 posters.
They kept that fun going, right? And like those guys really carried that. And then shout out to Matt Berry, who just came in out of nowhere as Mr. Handy, giving up his voice. And like, how much you get paid for that? At like $5,000, and he goes, oh, that was kind of cheap right there. Yeah, that was super funny. And so, yeah, there were some great ones all around.
Yeah, really cool stuff. Thank you all for hanging out with us today. Lucy, thank you for coming through to talk
about
Fallout.
Let us know in the comments below what you thought about the Fallout TV show, what theories you have for season two. Is season two confirmed?
Yep.
Yeah.
Hell yes. That is very, very exciting. But this has been the Kinda Funny Gamescast. Each and every weekday, we get together to talk about the biggest reviews, previews, and topics in video games live on YouTube, Twitch, and podcast services around the globe. If you love what we do, please support us with the Kinda Funny membership on Patreon or YouTube. You get all the shows ad-free. You can watch us live as we record them, and you get a daily exclusive show. Right after this, we are going to give you the continuation of Nick's Pokemon Nuzlocke Challenge. You can watch that on Twitch or YouTube or later if you would like. But until then, it's been our pleasure to serve you.